The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Mr. President, there are no signs that Iran is ready to stop fighting. So what is the plan? Is the plan to just keep bombing until...
How would you know if there are no signs? What, you know something that I don't know?
Well, they continue to attack our allies.
You don't know what the dialogue is behind the scenes, that they want to meet desperately to try and end it because they're getting decimated. You don't get that when you listen to your fake station, but you don't know. You don't know anything.
So what, talks are...
You know something that I don't know? You know something I don't know?
Well, tell us.
I will tell you, they want to desperately meet, and until they're ready to meet in a meaningful way, we have no interest in even...
European allies and Canada, because they're investing more in their security, they were able to come up with capabilities to replace U.S. Capabilities on which we have based our defense for too long. So this is something that is happening.
You talked about euphemism. You talked about transformation of NATO, but it's a rupture, NATO 3.0. It's the Americans or the U.S. administration. It's not a shared objective. Washington is saying that they don't no longer have the same geopolitical objectives. So there's a disagreement in the overall vision. It's a major rupture.
Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal, the architect of a horrific genocide against the Palestinian people. He is responsible for the killing of more than 73,000 people, for the maiming of tens of thousands of children as those who survive undergo amputation without anesthesia, for the targeting of neonatal hospitals and maternity care centers, denying newborns even the chance to live, for the countless people he starved as he blocked food and humanitarian aid from reaching them, for the gunning down of hundreds of aid workers and journalists. And just last month, the UN confirmed that Palestinian children continue to be deliberately targeted and killed by Israeli armed forces, more than 8 months after the so-called ceasefire. The list goes on and on, all as we, as Americans, pay for the bombs that do the killing. There is a reason the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for his arrest. As human beings, we have spent generations building a shared understanding that there are crimes so grave, they offend all of humanity. Anyone, with their eyes, with their heart, with their conscience, should recognize the devastation he has wrought and understand that he belongs before a court of law.
That is what the Palestinian cause does. It demonizes Jews, and it calls for the destruction of Israel, and it does so, moreover, by attempting to steal from the Jews their own historic identity or history in the land. It says, the Jews never were here, we were here first. The Jews were never here. It's our land. That is all a complete lie. So they are literally trying to destroy Judaism itself.
What is your level of concern of a blockade of the Red Sea by the Houthi rebels, opening up another front?
Well, we'll see what happens. So far, it hasn't happened, might happen. But we take care of things. If something like that happens, we take care of it. Yeah.
Now, I want to tell you that Lincoln's generation suffered many of the same problems that we do today. Intense partisanship, heated factionalism, an overall disregard for the foundations laid at the American Revolution. They were just a couple generations removed and they had already forgotten. But you know what Lincoln did? He became an evangelist for the American founding. He talked about the core principles. He talked about why we were here. He ultimately saw the conclusion of the Civil War, an incredibly dark and divided era in American history, as an opportunity for what he called a new birth of freedom. God is not done with America yet. He is not done with our country. This is the last best hope of man on the earth. Reagan used to say that, and he was quoting Lincoln. They understood that. We're not perfect, but we are one nation under God. And so long as we are, we will continue to have his favor.
And this idea that the law comes and is sort of above any man, even if you don't believe in God yourself. I think that's like an important concept. I mean, if you look at the Ten Commandments, probably eight of them are something that I would hope that everybody would agree with, even if they're not themselves religious.
We've made great progress in the world mechanically, materialistically, but our troubles have escalated until they're greater today than at any time in history, unless it was just before the flood. Jesus said, as it was in the time of the flood, so it would be now, and it is now. There's a gigantic missing dimension in education. Our accomplishments in the world are materialistic. The human mind can think materially. But our problems and our troubles are spiritual in nature, and our minds can't think spiritually. Spiritual things are so much foolishness to the average mind. The world will avoid religion or anything spiritual. It's only concerned with the physical, the material. The world is ignorant of the purpose of human life. The world is ignorant of the human potential, the incredible human potential. And the world knows nothing about it. They don't know why we're here. They don't know where we're going. They don't know how to get there. They don't know anything about it. They don't know where we're going, and they don't know the way. They have lost their way, and they're going the wrong way.
You need Mr. Armstrong there at the end to make sense of all this, because the world is in trouble, so much trouble. And you see there, too, he touched on the fact that there's a missing dimension in education. You've got people, even as there's dumpster fires going up all around, you still have the most educated among us that say, you know what, we're still pretty good. The human heart is good. We're one nation under God. God's bestowing favor upon us. For the most part, everybody agrees about the commandments, or at least eight of them. And here we're headed to the grand smash conclusion, the great tribulation. Of course, all of that happens before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Because of our sins, we've brought it upon ourselves. As I say, you need Herbert Armstrong there at the end of that cold open just for a reality check. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. As you saw from the cold open, it seemed like a good time to just have a little bit of everything. You could go in 10 different directions on today's program, and we probably will. We'll see what happens. There's another story. It didn't make it into the cold open, but this news about this artificial intelligence, so much of it I don't understand. But it's featured. This subject is featured on the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine. And evidently, just yesterday, there was this artificial intelligence hack on another system somehow where it wasn't generated by human beings. It just went rogue, I guess. What a gamble we have taken on technology. And here again, it's so deceptive, isn't it? Because we look at the power, it's awesome, and we think, well, we're experiencing all this progress. But it's just as Mr. Armstrong said in that clip at the end of the cold open. I mean, we are advancing mechanically, materialistically, technologically. But we're in rapid decline spiritually. That's the truth. And you could listen to commentators talk all day about the Bible or about Jesus, but that's all it would end up being, talk. Look at, my father wrote an article on artificial intelligence. I'll play the montage on this breaking story for you in a moment. But this is from 2024, where he was quoting the CEO of Google. He was on 60 Minutes, and he just casually said, AI will be as good or as evil as human nature allows. What a, if you know the truth about human nature, what a terrifying statement that is. And now we already have examples of AI going rogue. What a gamble. What a gamble. There's another story at Citizen Free Press this morning about the hidden AI debt of $1.6 trillion. Yeah, that's next to a few other stories about the nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia. The fact that even AutoPin wanted Saudi Arabia to get closer to Israel before he would sign off, or whoever signed for him, on a nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia. President Trump comes along and says, you know what, that doesn't matter. Because listen, everybody wants to be a part of the Abraham Accords anyway. And okay, there's a little dust up with the Houthis. We'll take care of that. That's no problem. We love Saudi Arabia, so let's give them a nuclear deal. Well, who's going to monitor it? This world, as I've said so many times, it's arming for war. All of this progress, we've made a lot of progress in technology with respect to nuclear weapons and other armaments and other weapons of war. But you look at human nature, it's deceitful, desperately wicked, above all things, the Bible says. And so human nature is going to determine just how much good or evil is projected by artificial intelligence. Is this going to end well? That's why you need those clips from Herbert Armstrong, because we know the only hope, as we'll get to in a second. Well, actually, I might not get to Mark 1, but I want to take you through some verses in Jeremiah 30 here in a moment. But our hope is in the gospel that Jesus Christ proclaimed, the soon coming kingdom of God. Jesus Christ coming back to this earth as King of Kings. You look at the AI gamble. It's featured on the Trumpet magazine, and then I think it'll be in mailboxes any day now. And then look at the story. Breaking just yesterday or this morning. This is a montage we put together on it, clip 15.
OpenAI has revealed that two of its newly released models autonomously hacked their way out of a controlled test environment where they were supposed to be walled off from the internet and into the systems of a rival company, Hugging Face. According to OpenAI, their new models were stealing from the rival system in order to cheat an internal evaluation. The CEO at Hugging Face said he was suspicious that last week's intrusion had come from a frontier lab experiment, given the scale of its sophistication. And it turns out it did. It's thought to be the first such incident of its kind, and quite understandably, it is setting alarm bells ringing, because what it reveals to us, yet again, is that these models can behave in unintended, unauthorized ways, even when the engineers explicitly try to contain it.
So it really can be overstated how crazy this was. The people at OpenAI, as far as we can tell, did everything right. They used, you know, proper sandbox containment. They did not have access to the internet. It was an isolated node in their network. These are all best practices. Getting out of a system like that is almost impossible. You know, the best hackers in the world usually cannot escape a situation like this, or if they can, it would take them weeks or maybe months. What the AI system did is it found what is called a zero day. A zero day, which is a very scary sounding name, for a type of way of exploiting or breaking a piece of software that no one has yet discovered. So it discovered a completely new way to hack out of the system. And then it didn't just use one zero day. It discovered multiple zero days over multiple different systems chained together to move from one computer to the next until it got to the internet, and then found other zero days in the software of the other company to infiltrate their network and access the data it was looking for. It really cannot be overstated how crazy this is. This is like out of a Hollywood movie. What all these companies are trying to do, and you know, OpenAI and other companies on the website, is they are trying to build what is called superintelligence. Their goal is not to just build a nice little chatbot or something. What they are trying to build is systems that are vastly smarter and more competent than humans at everything, and that are fully autonomous. No one was telling or looking at the AI and teaching it how to do these things. It figured it out by itself. This was not something the OpenAI engineers intended. And still, it was capable of doing this superhuman level of hacking completely without human oversight. So these companies are pushing towards building systems that can do this kind of thing for everything, for every type of job, for every type of science, for every type of military application, for every type of political application. And the truth is that they don't know how to control these things because they don't understand themselves what's going on inside of their AIs. Recently, the CEO of Anthropic, Dario Amodei, said that he thinks we understand maybe 3% of what goes on inside of our AI systems today. And I think even that might be an overestimation. And currently, there is no oversight, there is no regulation on any of this. This is all happening out in the open. These companies have no accountability whatsoever.
There's no going back. The lid has been blown off, you could say. Everything's out in the open. And surprise, surprise, you have things like stealing and cheating, infiltration. You heard that word in the little montage. You can't contain it. You can't control it. So what are we left with? Well, you go back to what the CEO from Google said. Human nature is going to determine how this plays out. Elon Musk said this technology could destroy civilization. Why? We don't understand it. We can't contain it. The great gamble. The world is all in. And you can read about it in this issue of The Trumpet, the August issue. It's leveling the playing field. It's not the mighty U.S. superpower anymore. As I said yesterday, it's not like Germany needs this massive, you know, 50 million man army. It just needs the right tools. In some cases, maybe just a few of them. Understand the dark sentences. Get the weaponry or get on a partnership with France or whoever. You've got everything you need. The world has enough weapons to blow itself up many times over. It's not like you need 1,000 nuclear weapons either. So this is where we're headed. What a timely issue of The Trumpet, by the way. August 2026, the AI gamble. What a gamble it is. Look at the cover. This is like straight out of Vegas. We are all in on artificial intelligence. And the only thing we have to govern it is our deceitful, wicked human nature. This is from that issue, the featured article. The world's largest economies are all in on the same high-stakes gamble, pouring hundreds of billions into advanced data centers and ever more powerful large language models. The U.S., China, and Europe are placing enormous bets on different strategies, yet the house edge is the same. If the gamble pays off, the winner could reshape the global order. And you heard a little bit there from European parliamentarians saying, you know, the relationship between the U.S. and Europe has ruptured. How much rupturing will AI cause? It says for the past, well, it says earlier on, if it fails, the losses could wreck economies and destabilize nations. Everyone's all in on this technology. What a terrifying reality this is. And yet, you still look through the news cycle each day, and I can't remember a time when we ever heard so many confident statements that everything's going to be good. Even the CEO guy on that 60 Minutes segment, he was very calm and measured, and, you know, he gave this terrifying warning. If I were in that segment, I'd be screaming. Well, hang on a second. If human nature is going to guide this or direct it, what about Jeremiah 17:9 and Romans 8:7? No, you don't get any of that, except on this program, except at our website, except from all of my father's literature, except from Herbert Armstrong. Great progress, materially, technologically, but we're in rapid decline when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to submitting to the words of the Bible. All scripture, the students heard a forum on that this morning. All scripture is given by inspiration from God. All of it. God doesn't say, you know, you can decide on, if you want to keep 8 of the commandments, that's fine. If that's all that you can agree upon, and you know that that's not even the case, how many people agree on, yeah, I think let's keep all 8 of these commandments? Because in the commandments, there are commands not to steal, to cheat, to infiltrate, to get in with unauthorized access. Just think of the Spirit working behind all of this. Leave aside human nature for a moment. Of course, human nature is influenced by Satan the devil. It's really Satan's nature. So what happens when Satan ultimately has control of artificial intelligence? The latest issue of the Trumpet: for the past 80 years, the global order has been dominated by the U.S. Okay, that's true. However, technological advances such as AI could present, and this is a quote from The Coming Wave, could present an existential threat to nation states, risks so profound they might disrupt or even overturn the current geopolitical order. This is the world we're entering into. It's like it's straight out of Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, this great structure that was going to protect mankind from another flood so that mankind could continue living defiantly in opposition to God and his laws. We can do whatever we want. We'll protect ourselves. Little dust up with the Houthis, well, we'll take care of it. That's no problem. Well, what about, Lebanon and Israel? They get along. They get along fine. What about, this is, a reporter asked this of President Trump. I guess I could just play the exchange for you. Listen to clip 3.
Questions, one for you. President Trump, as you work to expand the Abraham Accords, Lebanon still enforces a 1955 law criminalizing contact with Israel for over 70 years. You previously stated you would push Lebanon on this issue. And people, there is some people still going to prison last month. So did you raise it with you will raise it with President Trump today?
The Abraham Accords have been, I think, a tremendous success. I think you're going to see a lot of countries joining pretty soon. As you know, we have our original group, and it's so successful for them. Economically successful. It's been that. Nobody left, even during this time of conflict. So, I think Lebanon has a very important place.
When the Israeli army withdrew from Lebanon, is there a clear timeline?
They're in the process of doing that. They're in the process of redeploying to other sections. And again, they get along very well.
I guess he means Israel and Lebanon. Of course, then you have Hezbollah in between. And they're in the process of leaving Lebanon. And then President Trump, for his part, Abraham Accords are great. Nobody's left. Even during all these conflicts, even during October 7 and the war with Iran twice. But the Accords, the group, the unity in the group, I've never seen it so close. The heart is good. Israel gets along great with Lebanon. Lebanon loves Israel. We're religious, to go back to the cold open. Most people agree on the commandments. God is bestowing favor on our nations. And on it goes. My father wrote in that 2024 piece, artificial intelligence is the attempt to create human-like intelligence in machines. Programmers input vast amounts of data into computer software. Well, now it looks like the artificial intelligence can go get data on its own. The software learns from it and produces outputs, then learns from those outputs and subsequent data in an ever-improving cycle. This field has made gigantic leaps in recent years. This is my father writing 2.5 years ago. Now, in many cases, the programmers themselves are shocked at the apparent knowledge, reason, and even emotion this type of software can display. Tomorrow's news today, right? Hopefully you have a subscription. There's no cost or obligation to subscribe to the Trumpet to get 10 free issues. Every year, you can get to the PDFs instantly at our website, thetrumpet.com. But it says here, manipulating, the programmers admit that even they don't understand it. Elon Musk has said as much. Manipulating artificial intelligence is a powerful way to manipulate the minds of the masses. It also opens new possibilities in advanced warfare. So my father's had a lot to say about the dark sentences mentioned over in the book of Daniel. And you put all of these developments together when, as I've covered this week, at the same time in the nations of Israel, you have a lot of weakness on display, a lot of weak leaders. Listen, going back to Melanie Phillips and her sit-down interview with John Anderson, this is clip 7.
As you say, it's very hard to know exactly where this might land, but on the surface of it, it actually looks as though the Middle East may now be less stable. The missiles have not been obliterated. It's plainly the case that there will be enough and the manufacturing capacity to build them up again quite quickly. Then no one will be brave enough to go in to try and take out any nuclear program that might be inching towards a successful conclusion. Regime change is simply not being measured anymore. And this must be leaving the Middle East looking less certain than ever. I would have thought other Arab states deeply concerned. There may even be the danger that it starts a nuclear
risk.
Others will say, well, we can't rely on the Americans, the West's lost its way. We need to be able to defend ourselves.
Iran's strength is only derived from American weakness. If America was strong, it would win. Elementary rule of war, elementary rule of life.
She's right. You had Pete Hegseth. He's testifying and also going to Congress and asking for tens of billions more money to support the war effort. And he's going back and forth with one of these Democrat senators that says, well, you know, we've been told that the war is over and that Iran's obliterated. The Democrats are deranged, for sure. They all suffer from TDS. And it's getting worse. You heard Mamdani. How does he become mayor of New York City, by the way? And here he is calling for Bibi Netanyahu to be arrested, as if Mamdani doesn't have enough to take care of in a city in rapid decline. And they come in with nice sounding words. I'm here to bring peace. I'm here to bring prosperity. Everyone's going to benefit. And everyone always suffers more because of weakness in leadership. There are no Churchills today. There's just God's prophet and God's work sounding the alarm. No one else will. Jeremiah 30 here in verse 1. It says the word that came to Jeremiah, well, he says to his prophet here, make sure you write these words down because it's for the latter days. It's for the end time. Verse 3, it says, for lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah. It's going to happen again? You mean there's a duality to these prophecies? Do we know what happened to ancient Israel, ancient Judah? That today, that is primarily the United States, Britain, and little Judah in the Middle East. Now, you can study that on your own time in the United States and Britain in prophecy. But the captivity is coming again. It says, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, just keep in mind, it's addressed to Israel and Judah, and Israel had gone into captivity about 100 years earlier. So, how's this going to be fulfilled again? Well, we've been telling you this for some time now, going back to that March 2024 trumpet. My father talks about, again, it's in the context of artificial intelligence, but he also touches on the prophesied downfall of our nations. How will America fare in such a future war, you know, one where artificial intelligence is factored in? He says, prophecy shows that these other nations, including Germany, Russia, China, even Iran, are going to use these weapons to devastating effect. And he mentions Ezekiel 7 and verse 14, where it says the blast comes from the trumpet, but no one goes out to battle because the systems have been hacked. As my father explains, these nations are going to be attacked and they will call for war, but nobody will go to the battle. They rely on advanced technology, but apparently the enemy will hack and knock out their technology. Again, go back and read this article, and you know, you can look at Ezekiel 7 and verse 14 on your own time as well. It says, no matter how much America is investing in its military, it won't matter because God is against our nation unless we repent. In that August 2026 issue, the most recent one, there's another article in there on Germany. Can Germany escape the bust, the AI bust that's coming? Everybody's all in. Everybody's all in. And who's going to win? Are we so sure that America is going to win this battle for AI, this battle for control? Human nature is leading the way. Coming back to this prophecy here, verse 5, it says, for thus says the Eternal, we have heard the voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask you now, and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Every face in our nations, just absolutely terrified at this horror show that they're going to have to live through. Verse 7, it says, alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, that he shall be saved out of it. God will save a remnant. But it's the worst time of trouble that our nations have ever experienced. Jacob's trouble, that's Israel. That's Israel. We often talk about how the prophecy regarding the Holy Roman Empire, the seventh and final resurrection, that was like a signature prophecy of Herbert Armstrong. Well, here's another keynote prophecy. Jacob's trouble, a time of trouble, unlike anything this world has seen. Listen to this from Mr. Armstrong's World Tomorrow broadcast, clip 13.
the weapons of mass destruction, nuclear and other weapons of mass destruction, exist that can erase all human life from the face of this earth and do it suddenly. That means your life and mine and everyone that you love and care for. Has all this evil crept upon us, this world condition of violence, of immorality, of everything that is wrong, has it crept upon us so gradually in the last 75 years that we've become callous to it, that we don't really realize it, that we just somehow come to take it for granted as if it had always been that way? It hasn't. And we're coming and coming rapidly down to a grand smash climax at the end of this world. But people have become callous to the condition in the world.
I love that point about the 75-year track we've been on. And we just assume, well, this is the way the world's always been. It's kind of like Obama once said. There's a few messy places, but hey, the world's pretty good. The people on the other side of the aisle believe the same thing. You heard it from Speaker Johnson in the cold open. God's bestowing favor on us. We're one nation under God. We're being blessed. In fact, we're calloused to the condition of this world. We don't realize that we're living in perilous times. 2 Timothy 3:1, we don't realize that we're entering into a time of trouble, as Daniel 12:1 says, that this world has never seen. We don't realize we're coming into Jacob's trouble, that we're going headlong toward great tribulation. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Mr. Armstrong said in 1978, when prophecy tells us this is to be the time of Jacob's trouble, that means primarily the United States and British people. You look at the dearth of leadership, you look at out-of-control AI, and then meanwhile, you look at what other nations are saying about the United States. They're rapidly building a war machine in Europe, led by Germany, because they don't trust Orange Hitler. This article from The Guardian, it says, across 20 countries, the median percentage with a favorable view of China rose from 32% to 46% between 2023 and this year. So just over a three-year period. And it says for the U.S., it fell from 58% to 36%. The enemies of America abroad, and we've got a lot of problems at home, as I said yesterday, but the enemies abroad, their view of America, it's not getting better. It's plummeting. There's hatred, there's contempt, there's competition, there's strife. Just as Herbert Armstrong often said, but when you become callous to it, you still can get up and be really hopeful and positive and optimistic about this world, this present evil world. God wants us to set our minds on His world, on the coming kingdom of God. That's the message that Jesus proclaimed. You see it in Mark 1, verse 14. And yet the modern translations, they twist it and they distort it. And instead of it being the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God, they make it into a gospel about Christ. And even on that angle, they get it wrong. But they do away with His message. The preachers, I mean. They do away with the message, the true gospel message. Did you know the word gospel means good news? There is good news, but not for this present evil world. Don't become calloused to the condition of this world. Look into your Bible and believe God's assessment. Believe what God says about this world. Believe what He says about the human heart. believe. And then put your hope in the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God. This is Mr. Armstrong again from that same broadcast, clip 14.
General MacArthur delivered one of the great speeches of recent world history. And before the Congress of the United States later, he said,
on the second day of September 1945, just following the surrender of the Japanese nation on the battleship Missouri, I formally cautioned as follows. Men, since the beginning of time, have sought peace. Various methods through the ages have been attempted to devise an international process to prevent or settle disputes between nations. Military alliances, balances of power, leagues of nations, all in turn failed, leaving the only path to be by way of the crucible of war. The utter destructiveness of war now blots out this alternative. We have had our last chance. If we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. The problem basically is theological and involves a spiritual recrudescent and improvement of human character that will synchronize with our almost matchless advances in science, art, literature, and all material and cultural developments of the past 2,000 years. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh.
Those are the words of General MacArthur, and they never were more true than they are at this minute. Now, several years have gone by. Conditions have worsened. They have not gotten better. The United Nations was going to bring us peace. World War II was the war that was to end wars. World War I was the war that was to end wars. None of them ever ended war. None of them ever will. Nuclear World War III, I want to tell you now, this afternoon, World War III is definitely coming, and approximately soon.
A voice crying in the wilderness of religious confusion. Confusion about what is the gospel that Jesus preached. You know, Herbert Armstrong said that if you change the gospel from a message about the kingdom of God to a message about Jesus Christ, well, then you're going to get all kinds of different messages. Why? Because of human nature. Because you'll make Jesus out to be the kind of religious leader you want for him to be. Instead of just accepting the inspiration coming from Almighty God in the form of the Holy Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration from God. God doesn't want us to, now again, no translation's perfect. The King James is the closest. But God doesn't want us to go in there and say, oh, well, we want a more modern translation and we'll change the meaning in certain passages. Or we'll just insert our opinion. Or we'll say, well, when the Apostle Paul said that in Romans 1, he was just giving his opinion. And we don't really have to obey that today. Or the commandments are great for the most part. And I think if we can get everyone to at least agree on 8 of them, it'd be pretty good. In fact, I believe most agree with 8 of the commandments. Mr. Armstrong was right. He was right. The world's not getting better. It's getting worse. And to just take one topic we've touched on today, look at artificial intelligence. Look at where it's going. Victor Davis Hanson talking about the Democratic Socialist Party taking over the Democrats. And you want to talk about another recipe for a nuclear bomb, so to speak. Well, here it is. It's like their playbook is to destroy the country. And like I read to you yesterday, that's what Herbert Armstrong said about the communist infiltration. Most DSA adherents share an agenda rooted in dislike of America, America's past and present, rapid state expansion to appropriate private enterprise and property, sharply higher taxation, vastly expanded entitlements, cancellation of student loan and credit card debt, open borders and mass amnesty, citizenship synonymous with residence, alignment abroad with former third world states and radical Muslim movements, hostility to Israel. You see all these things. Poorly cloaked anti-Semitism and anti-white animus. Expanded DEI preferences, defunding police and prisons, and restructuring governance itself. Packing the court, ending the filibuster and electoral college, and admitting new left-wing states. Now, that's right here at home. That's in America. And Mamdani is becoming the voice of this movement. And you heard what he said there in the cold open. I thought that was AI initially. Can he really be saying this? Can he really be threatening Bibi Netanyahu that he's going to arrest him if he comes to the UN convention? That's the mayor of New York City. That's the leader. And a lot of Democrats love him. They see a bigger future for him politically. Anti-American in every respect. It says here, the DSA's primary sweep suggests that Mamdani's win was a harbinger of a real trend. Socialism, and to a lesser extent, communism, is making a comeback. Communism making a comeback right here in the United States of America. Just celebrated its 250th birthday. And Speaker Johnson says he's real hopeful because, well, look at what Lincoln did. Lincoln pointed people back to America's founding documents, a new birth of freedom. But what's the secret or the popularity behind this movement? Well, so much of it gets right back to education, doesn't it? The missing dimension in education. It says here, you would have to be in your 40s at least to have grown up in an America where socialism was the ruling philosophy of our main geopolitical rival, the Soviet Union. Having the Cold War's final years and dissolution of the Soviet Union as twin memories is a powerful inoculation against socialism's appeal. But any American under 40 doesn't have that. And so the younger generation, growing up in the age of artificial intelligence, the end of history, the post-truth world, everybody has their truth. Is this healthy? Is America going to go on for another 250 years based on this? Of course not. But you see, we've become so calloused to the direction of this world. And we're so ignorant to the truth of the Bible and what God says about this world. And what God says about the devil and his influence, and what God says about the devil's fate. Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago with a good news gospel message about the soon coming kingdom of God, and the world murdered him. The world crucified him. And the spirit behind that, it's the same spirit influencing artificial intelligence. You know where this is headed. Look at what man was doing to man before artificial intelligence came along. And now the CEO of Google says, well, you know, we've got human nature to govern it. We've got human nature to contain it. We've got human nature to guide it. That is a recipe for disaster. Neil Ferguson at the Free Press. Socialism 101. The YDSA's socialist syllabus features readings from Karl Marx all the way through to this other socialist feminist. The key concepts are class struggle, anti-colonialism, critical race theory, intersectionality, and the inherent wickedness of the United States as a project of patriarchy and white supremacy. This is the education young people are getting, so many of them. They have no working memory of the 1980s or the 70s or the 60s, certainly not the 1940s. And so here we are, as I said last week, with very popular commentators that are out there saying, yeah, Hitler, he's a pretty good guy. Or Churchill was the problem. You know what? You listen to that Mamdani thing again. Go back and listen to the cold open, and you'd be hard-pressed to find much difference between that and Tucker Carlson. And this is where we are. They dress it up, the Jew hatred. But look, the spirit behind that hatred, it's not just in the Democrat Socialist Party. It's all over the world. That's what, you know, Mamdani can get up there and say what he said, because as soon as October 7 happened, people took to the streets in New York City to protest not against Hamas and that massacre that they carried out, against Israel, against the Jews for defending themselves. And then he just gets away with these blatant lies that Israel has sought out 73,000 Gazans to kill them, including children. He can get away with that in the post-truth world. He can spew lies. And the father of those lies loves it. He absolutely loves it. And it's only going to get worse. This is from the Free Press. This isn't socialism. It's third worldism. The DSA does not openly proclaim its allegiance to Moscow or Beijing, but it is deeply intertwined with groups such as the Party for Socialism and Liberation that do. And it's been developing its organizational ties to communist Cuba and China. Further on, he says, so yes, the DSA is communist, not necessarily in the sense of promoting worker power or similar nonsense, but in the more serious Cold War sense, it is a domestic fifth column aligned with the global enemies of the free world. They're aligned with America's enemies. And they're right here in our midst. A fifth column. And it's happening at a time when, as God says in Isaiah 3, he's taken away all the leaders. Like MacArthur, as you saw there, or Churchill. Go back to that clip from just one final exchange between Melanie Phillips and John Anderson about the leadership today. I think this is clip 8.
We need the Americans. From an Australian perspective in particular, I live in a country now where the government basically is made up of people who don't like America, won't do anything about defence. At the same time, as I say, we've got to be less dependent on America. So the West is deeply divided. It doesn't know how to respond to the crises before. And we've got Iran now as really is part of an axis of evil that are working in concert. It's hard to know what they all have in common. China, North Korea, Iran, Russia, except for their loathing of the West and the belief that we are weak.
What passes for conscience now in the West is in the service of the utmost evil that we can find in the world. Now, this is, to put it mildly, not just monstrous, it is absolutely terrifying, because it means the West is totally lost. Lost in every possible conceivable sense. I have to say, looking at the populists, I'm not sure whether any of them is up to this. I'm not sure whether any of them fully understands the full horror and the full scale and nature of the calamity that has now befallen the West. It requires a rare statesman, a statesman of rare intellect and courage, first of all, to see it, acknowledge it, and secondly, to do something about it.
And she doesn't see that in the leaders of Israel today. By Israel, again, I'm talking about the U.S. and Britain in particular. There's just not the leadership there to see the evil and to confront the evil or do something about it. That's why we need God's government, because God is about to intervene to do something about it. He sees the evil. And those two commentators there do a pretty good job of seeing what we're going up against, the scale and the nature of the calamity that has befallen the West. It's a crisis. And it should be something setting off alarm bells all over the world, and particularly here in the United States and in Great Britain as well. Well, hopefully we can carry on with more of these stories I didn't get to today. There's always time tomorrow, but we've run out of time today. In fact, I took you 2 minutes over, but I'm not going to charge you for those extra 2 minutes of content. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.